Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. We have appreciated for a long time now the intelligence of Matthew Brodsky when it comes particularly to matters involving the Middle East, subject matter on which he has specialized for many years in a variety of incarnations. These days he's with the Strategic Studies Group. He has in the past worked for the Jewish Policy Center, the American Foreign Policy Council, and been an editorial assistant with the Israeli publication Haaretz, among other distinctions. We're delighted to have him back. Matt, welcome. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes.
Good to be with you.
Well, where to begin in your portfolio? I guess the obvious place is what you made of President Trump's announcement earlier this week about the Iran deal and where we should go from here.
Well, I think it was a very important decision. Clearly, he was leaning toward it for a long period of time. The most important thing that it does is not, I should say that in addition to dealing with the nuclear problem much more effectively by getting rid of the deal, it allows the United States to really refocus our Middle Eastern policy in general, which has, under the Obama administration and as a result of this deal, had been tied into keeping our relationship with Iran on a very positive footing to the extent possible, and essentially throwing our allies under the bus. So this is a very good move that allows us to begin pushing back on the greatest strategic threat facing the U.S., and that's Iran when it comes to the Middle East.
Do you credit the statements that have been made by the president and some of his representatives that there will be new negotiations pursued, or do you think that in point of fact, this is kind of the end of the road on all of that, and that regime change is really the only way we're now going to be able to control the threat posed by Iran, both nuclear and in other forms?
First of all, the regime is obviously horrible in Tehran, and the best way to ensure that they don't have a nuclear weapon would be through a regime that is responsible to the people and is far better and not ideologically driven as they are. I don't think that means U.S. boots on the ground or active military measures to make something like that happen. But to the extent that we can encourage and work on the side of the people, again, like we did not do under the Obama administration, to work with the people who have been on the streets and demanding changes, who are aware that all the goodies that the regime received from the nuclear deal all has gone to the foreign adventures, such as in Syria, as opposed to helping the average Iranian. That's a very important thing to happen. Now, as far as new negotiations are concerned, America's problem right now, even before it would get to Iran, if such renegotiations were to continue, would be convincing Europe. We need to get leverage with Europe first, who basically sees the deal as a means to make a lot of money. So we can engage in renegotiation and trying to come up with something for Europe, but a really good policy, the plan B that everyone thinks doesn't exist, is really to leave a horrible deal behind, get back to a place where we have maximum leverage with sanctions, and give Iran the choice. You move forward, bad things are going to happen, you know?
Well, I think getting back to a point where we have leverage and that we are actually working to help undermine the regime is very much the name of the game at the moment, not new negotiations that would have the effect, I'm afraid, of propping them up once again. But let me ask you, Matt Brodsky, about one of the other major areas of concern about Iran at the moment, of course, and that is the intensifying prospect of conflict between Israel and Iran over the latter's movement into Syria in force, and increasingly not just the capacity to threaten Israel, but the use of rockets and missiles, I guess, from Syria in recent days to attack Israel. Do you anticipate that we're heading into potentially a regional conflict between these two parties, initially at least?
It could very well happen. But in the meantime, Israel has three options when it looks at Iran. It can trust in Russia to look over its security concerns. It can continue its tit-for-tat type of strikes, which it has been doing, specifically looking at what it's taken out at the T-4 base, a major logistical airport where Iran flies in weapons and SAM systems into Syria. Or it can have a really comprehensive campaign to utterly destroy Iran's position inside of Syria. Now, Israel chose a day ago or so to have a 2.5 type of option, which is to really comprehensive go after all of Iran's position, but to still pull back. The way this spreads regionally is if one of the two parties decides to involve Lebanon and Hezbollah there. In the meantime, it looks very much like there's like we'll see if Iran has learned a lesson from the really strong response that Israel had inside of Syria. If it does, then we might be back where we were. If not, this escalates further and Israel will still try to destroy Iran further inside of Syria. The main question is, from Israel's perspective, can they accomplish all of their objectives if there are missile or arms manufacturing facilities that are existing underground in Lebanon, in which case they're going to have to find a way to take care of that. But yes, Iran is equally determined to set up shop on Israel's doorstep and to pose a threat right there. And Israel's equally determined to stop it.
And of course, you're right to point to the threat posed by Hezbollah in Lebanon. The size of its missile force now in place and apparently ready to go, capable of ranging the entirety of Israel, is of grave concern, I know, to the Israelis, and I think to all of those of us who, you know, stand with her. Speaking of standing with Israel, Matt, next week we will have the United States Embassy move from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, a signal and long overdue and I think very important accomplishment of the Trump administration. What do you anticipate is going to be the response from the Palestinians and perhaps others to that development?
Well, in speaking to people in the Israeli Defense Forces, what they're seeing as far as this Gaza March protest is that, of course, this is on Fridays for going now for several weeks. They have large protests in Gaza, which are actually designed by Hamas to a high terrorist to rush the fence and to get into Israel. Now, the participation has gone down each week, and it's supposed to come to a crescendo in the next week when it's Nakba Day, the disaster as far as the Palestinian narrative is concerned. So while the participation has gone down, the violence level has gone up. In other words, a lot more terrorists are obviously at the forefront right there. So they're not going to enjoy this, but really it's something that the Israeli Defense Forces are quite capable and ready to deal with. It is a great move to move the embassy. And like the president has said, everyone's promised it. No one's ever delivered on it. And that's just ridiculous.
Matt Brodsky, we're always grateful to you for taking some time to talk with us. We'll look forward to our further visits with you soon. In the meantime, have a good weekend, my friend. Next up, we'll speak with Bill Gertz about, the Iran deal, a bit more from his perspective, and China, that and more. Straight